Thank you for being on time. Thank you for being here with us. It's my pleasure to introduce our first speaker, my law partner, Joe, who splits his time between our DC and Madison, Wisconsin offices. He focuses on administrative and appellate law, and he's a thought leader, a national speaker, a frequent author on the topic that he's going to present on today, Loper Bright, its impact so far, and what to expect, something that we all want to hear, not an easy, popular area right now, probably great for business in some way, but you're definitely earning your income these days. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Hale. That would be great. You know what? Actually, I'm going to leave this down on the bottom. I really use my paper. Thank you, Madison. All right, thank you, everybody, for being here and welcoming me from the north. I'm looking very forward to taking a half hour to talk about Loper Bright. I really want to focus on three things during the course of the presentation. Number one, a level set on what Loper Bright did and didn't do. I assume many of you are familiar with the case, but we'll all get on the same page. Then second, I want to talk about some things and some trends that have happened since Loper Bright was decided now almost a year ago. And lastly, I want to talk about what we anticipate will happen next, and in that discussion, focus especially on the healthcare industry. Throughout, I've done my best to focus on the healthcare industry, but I've pulled from other areas too as necessary to help make some points. All right, so in 1984, the Supreme Court decided Chevron v. Natural Resources Defense Council, which ushered in the era of Chevron deference, which, as again, many of you are very familiar with, was a situation where if you were dealing with an administrative agency taking some kind of action, that could be an administrative rule, it could be an adjudication, it could be guidance, well, guidance maybe, maybe not, if they were interpreting a statute and that statute was ambiguous, then courts were bound to defer to the administrative agency's determination. Even if the court would have said, we would have reached a different conclusion about what the correct interpretation of that statute is. And in short, Loper Bright did away with that. Loper Bright overturned the Chevron case, and with it overturned the Chevron deference regime. So reasoning under the Administrative Procedure Act, the Supreme Court held that it is up to courts to interpret statutes and determine the best and correct interpretation of them. And so when an agency and another party are in court, they're both entitled to equal persuasive weight in trying to argue for a particular interpretation of a statute. And what that means is if you have an administrative agency that is, again, taking some kind of action, whether that be a rule or an adjudication, there's no longer any binding deference to what they think is the correct interpretation of a statute, whether that statute is ambiguous or unambiguous. Now, although Loper Bright got rid of binding deference, it did not get rid of what is typically referred to as Skidmore respect. And Skidmore was a case from the 1940s, I believe, might have even been the 1930s. But it lays out some indicia of persuasiveness that courts should be on the lookout for when a federal agency is in court, advancing a particular interpretation of a statute. And those include how reasonable the interpretation is, how consistent over time the agency has used that interpretation, how formal the interpretation was. Was it a guidance document or a website page, or was it a full-throated notice and comment rulemaking? And then the relative expertness of the interpretation. And there we're looking at, is the agency's core mission